from WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Independent presidential candidate Evan McMullen says he's running to win. The 40-year-old has never held public office. He's ex-CIA, former policy director at the House Republican Conference, a Mormon running on a conservative platform in a state where many people still don't know who he is yet. Yet as Utah shows signs of slipping from Donald Trump's grip, Evan McMullen's name is rising. There is speculation he could take the state, and a scenario through Electoral College gridlock and Congress where Evan McMullen becomes president. Improbable, but not impossible. This hour On Point, Evan McMullen, the independent conservative running for president. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you looking for a non-Trump conservative on your ballot? Have you heard of Evan McMullen? Evan McMullen joins us in a minute. First, the big election picture now. With me from Washington is Nathan Gonzalez, editor and publisher of the Rothenberg and Gonzalez Political Report. Nathan, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Before we turn to Mr. McMullen, where does this race stand after these crazy last few weeks? What do the polls show us generally, and what do they show us in key swing states?
Well, the good news for Republicans is that the initial polling last week after the 2005 Access Hollywood tape and the second debate, the initial polling showed that the bottom has not fallen out from underneath Republican candidates down the ballot. The bad news is that there's 3 weeks before Election Day, and there's still time for Donald Trump to further implode and for things to hurt Republicans that are running for the Senate and the House. You know, there was the initial NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that was taken that weekend after the tape was released, and it showed a generic ballot advantage for Democrats of 7 points, which means the question is, which party would you prefer controlled Congress, Democrats or Republicans? And by a 7-point margin, people said Democrats. And so that created this sort of firestorm of publicity over those numbers. And, you know, that's a larger number than what we've seen this cycle, but it's also about half of what that question had in 2006 when Democrats gained 30 seats in the House and had a big wave. So where are we today? You know, I think we're waiting to see if the Donald Trump ads, the Democratic ads that include Donald Trump that went on the air last week, and as those sort of seep into the voters' psyche, will that start to shift numbers? Because their Republican candidates, particularly the top Senate states, don't have a lot of room for error, and even a shift of 2, 3, 4 points could you know, swing 5 or 6 races into the Democrats' favor.
Nathan, take us to the race for the White House and what we see there at this point.
Well, there's it's kind of a pick and choose which poll you want. The on one hand, there's the newest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that has Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump by 11 points, but then the ABC Washington Post poll only had Hillary Clinton up by 4 points. Now, so you can pick and choose which one depending on which side of the aisle or whichever candidate you want to win. On there, I think the important thing to look at going forward is, you know, what is the new normal? And there's a big gap, I think, between whether this is a 4-point race with Donald Trump trailing or an 11-point race, because the further his gap in key states, for example, Florida and Ohio, North Carolina, these states that also have Senate races, that increases the number of crossover voters that these senators will need in order to win re-election.
And what about the key swing states when it comes to the presidency, Nathan?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton has the advantage in most of them. For example, of the toss-up states that we have right now, Hillary Clinton has at least a few-point advantage in Florida, North Carolina, some of the states that Donald Trump is still doing okay, at least okay in, are Ohio and Iowa. The challenge is that Donald Trump needs to win all of the swing states. That's how the electoral math works. And if he doesn't win all of the swing states, and he needs to win a state like Pennsylvania, where it looks like he's down by at least 5 points, if not more.
So are you looking at down ballot races first, because you're in, to your mind, the White House is already won by Hillary Clinton, or am I misinterpreting?
Well, I think the, you know, I guess we don't say it's over until it's over, but just
certainly not.
The likelihood of Donald Trump running the table in the swing states, somehow unifying the Republican Party, it just seems increasingly unlikely as every day there's new allegations coming out. I mean, that's the key. The first thing a Republican nominee needs to do in order to win is to consolidate the Republican Party. That doesn't get you a majority, but that's the first step, and Donald Trump can't even do that. After the conventions when Hillary Clinton had about a 7 to 8 point lead and then it started to narrow, mm-hmm. and narrow to almost an even race, that was because Republicans were finally unifying. But then after the first debate, it halted that momentum, and after the tape came out in the second debate, we started to see more defections, and it's hard. I think it's just a very difficult path for Trump.
Nathan Gonzalez at the Rothenberg and Gonzalez Political Report. Thanks for joining us, Nathan.
Absolutely, anytime.
Now, let's begin to get closer to Evan McMullen. With us from Arlington, Virginia right now is Daniel Strauss, 2016 campaign reporter for Politico, been covering Evan McMullen. Daniel, welcome. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for letting me on here, Tom.
Introduce us in a nutshell to Evan McMullen.
So Evan McMullen is a former House staffer for the Republican, the House Republican Conference, and he was loosely a member of the Never Trump movement, a group of Republicans who had, throughout Trump's rise, strongly resisted him even after he got the nomination. And there was a point in the cycle a few months ago where McMullen was talking with a number of other Never Trump supporters and decided to run for president. And there was enough support among this group for McMullen to throw his hat into the ring. He is an ex-CIA agent. He used to work for House Republican Conference Chairwoman Kathy McMorris Rodgers. And other than that, he does not have any real sort of association with high-level Republican politics.
He's conservative. He got a lot of attention last week when a poll in Utah, which went more heavily for Mitt Romney than any other state in the union in 2012, showed him within striking distance of both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And people began talking about a scenario in which a kind of a gridlocked electoral college would occur. This would all go into Congress, and there would be a path that would open up for this relative unknown to actually be staring at the Oval Office. I mean, I know it's unlikely, but what's the path that has people talking about that, Daniel?
Well, let me stress again, underline yet another time, that it is very unlikely.
Yes.
Partially because of Hillary Clinton's lead and the high possibility that she wins the White House. But the plan for McMullen, the argument here, is to focus on a number of states that are cool on Trump and hope that the Electoral College is split. No candidate gets to 270, which then would mean the election is thrown to the House of Representatives. McMullen's plan, which we've reported in, he's detailed in email, in memos to mm-hmm. donors and publicly, is to be so appealing to the House of Representatives that instead of that chamber voting for, say, Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan, they would be so impressed with McMullen, this long-shot conservative candidate, that they would elect him president instead.
Remind us, this was it the 12th Amendment that describes this, and what the breadth of possible outcomes is once if it should go to the House. If nobody gets 270 electoral votes, they can just put anybody
right.
in there?
So, right. It is the 12th Amendment, right. And then the House of Representatives gets to pick a candidate. So since it's majority Republican, that's where McMullen's calculations are that he could actually be elected president. This despite not being on every ballot in the country. And
not by a long shot. He's only on in 11 states.
Right. His argument, though, is that he's a write-in in something like 13 more. His argument is that there would be so much momentum and so much distaste in the Republican Party that he could be elected president or be the eventual nominee.
I mean, no smaller party candidate has even won a state in any presidential election since George Wallace all the way back in 1968. But this was a strong showing. Now, some more recent polls, maybe not quite as strong. Donald Trump out ahead again in Utah. But Evan McMullen being right there in the pack, is there? Does it look like there's a chance he could actually win Utah?
Absolutely. Strangely enough, McMullen is right on this one point, which is that there's strong distaste among Utah Republicans for Donald Trump. And McMullen, a Utah native himself, knows how to appeal to them. I began reporting this story out about a month ago, and the unanimous argument from members of the House, from Utah Republican operatives, was that McMullen did not have a chance. But after this poll, I went back to these guys, and they all said the exact opposite, that McMullen could win this state.
And if he wins Utah, what is that, 6 electoral votes? It doesn't sound like many, but it's a big deal for Donald Trump.
Right, because Utah has been such a conservative stronghold for so long. It would be like a super liberal candidate losing Massachusetts or Vermont. It'd be very unheard of.
But the House could pick anybody. They could go to Mitt Romney. They could go, you name it. They could go to Paul Ryan. Why would they go to Evan McMullen?
Well, the argument that the McMullen campaign is making is that he would be a candidate there. He would have run such a strong campaign in such little time that the House of Representatives would think that he would be the best person for President of the United States. That's highly doubtful. What's more likely to happen is that House Republicans would pick someone else, someone with a little more electoral experience and stature within the party, and maybe thank McMullen for stopping Trump, but it's still doubtful.
And here we are. Wow, what a campaign season. Evan McMullen is going to join us right here in just a moment. Daniel Strauss is a politics reporter for Politico, covering the race this year, been covering Evan McMullen's presidential campaign as well. Daniel, thank you very much for being with us this hour.
Thanks for having me.
We're talking this hour about and with, in just a moment here, independent conservative candidate for president, former CIA operative Evan McMullen. He's out of Utah and doing very well there, has served in the CIA a lot in the Middle East, also been an advisor on foreign policy in Washington, D.C., to various Republican groups there. Comes from a state that was very heavily for Mitt Romney, but is very, very mixed in its feelings on Donald Trump. That has been the case all the way along when it comes to Mitt Romney, anyway. Very prominent, of course, in politics, former Massachusetts governor, also within the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. This was Mitt Romney all the way back in March telling Republicans that Donald Trump could not be trusted.
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. He's playing the members of the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House, and all we get is a lousy hat.
Mitt Romney in March. More recently, you've got political science watchers in Utah describing Republicans in that state as in a full-scale revolt against Donald Trump after the Access Hollywood tapes came out. First congressman to bail on Trump was Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz, withdrawing his support right here.
I'm out. I can no longer, in good conscience, endorse this person for president. It is some of the most abhorrent and offensive comments that you can possibly imagine.
And there stands Evan McMullen. You can join us this hour. Have you heard of him? Can you picture neither Clinton or Trump getting 270 electoral votes in Congress going with Mr. McMullen? What's your question for the former CIA man on national security, the economy, the Supreme Court? Evan McMullen joins us right now from Las Vegas, Nevada. Evan McMullen, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
I mean, we've got the shorthand, but we're just getting introduced to you, sir. Who are you, and why are you running for president, Mr. McMullen?
Well, before we get to that, why don't we correct some of that shorthand? You had a reporter on just before I came on who apparently has the job of covering the race and my campaign. Let me first of all be very clear about something, because I want to make sure that voters who are listening aren't misled by what they've heard.
We're all ears.
The truth is that if the election gets to the House of Representatives, the House of Representatives must choose from the top three finishers in the race, in the Electoral College. They cannot choose from just anyone, Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan.
Yeah, I wondered about
that.
What's
that?
I wondered about that.
It's really important that we get these facts right.
Yes, please.
We'll talk more about them, I'm sure. The other thing is that we are on 11 ballots across the country, and we're registered as a write-in in 23 others. And by the time we get to Election Day, we'll be on 40 to 45, either as a write-in or appearing directly on the ballot. the reporter you had on had those numbers very wrong as well. So I just want to make sure we get some of the facts correct, and I'm happy to talk about who I am and share more about the campaign.
Since you pointed to the Constitution and what happens if we've got Electoral College that doesn't get to 270 for anybody, you just described to us, just walk us through that, because it's fairly important to your candidacy, Mr. McMullen, how that works. Just take us through it one more time.
Well, what happens is that if no candidate achieves a majority in the Electoral College, which is 270 Electoral College votes, then the top three finishers in the race in the Electoral College go to the House, and each state gets a vote, and then the winner is, mm-hmm. is the president, becomes president. Now, this is very difficult to do, and we know that, and we knew that before getting into the race.
Sure.
And so it's that's no secret. That's not news, but that's the way that we would be able to win. We think it's not possible, likely, for us to win 270 votes ourselves. And so at this late stage, having gotten into the race as late as we did, that's the best opportunity we have. But it depends on how close the race is between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. If it's very, very close, we have a better opportunity to do that. If it's not very close, and right now it isn't very close, Hillary Clinton is so dominating Donald Trump in the Electoral College projections that it is not very close, and I don't think it is likely to be very close unless something dramatic happens, which is possible in this election, I suppose. So that's where we are.
But just to stick with that scenario, because it is your scenario, and we've got you here right now, I mean, you've had Gary Johnson out there, Libertarian, campaigning for a long time, Jill Stein, Green Party candidate out there for a long time, on many, many more on the ballot in many, many more states, nearly all, and yet you could picture yourself as one of the top three finishers. Is that because you cannot in the Electoral College? Is that because of your shot at winning Utah?
Well, yes, that's the point. I mean, many people such as yourself and others, and certainly Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, love to point out that they're on all the ballots, and many reporters like the one you had on earlier like to point that out. But the fact is, in order to win Electoral College votes, you have to win a state or two or three.
Mm-hmm. Or else you're not one of the top three, and the House can't look at you.
Well, yeah, and Jill Stein has no chance of doing that. We surpassed her in the national polls a few weeks ago. She's nowhere close to winning a state. Gary Johnson also is not really competitive in any state. This is the second time they've both run for president. I've only been in the race for a couple of months, and I'm already competing in the Mountain West, in Utah and Idaho, and we believe we'll be competing elsewhere. So, this is the reality. If you want to compete, you've got to win states, and I am the only non-major party candidate who is doing that.
I want to look at where you're coming from, but just so everyone's clear on this, you got a lot of attention last week when a poll put you right in a cluster with Trump and Clinton in Utah. But then I'm looking at a new poll out from YouGov, CBS News, Battleground Tracker, that has Donald Trump at 37%, and you well behind that. What about the strength of your support in Utah, Evan McMullen?
Well, that last poll, it was an online poll that didn't include me, so people had to write me in on the online poll in order to cast a vote. The fact that we were at 20% in that poll is pretty remarkable. Today, there will be another poll coming out that I think will shock a lot of people. So we're very comfortable and confident that we're making progress in Utah as well as in the broader Mountain West. There's certainly more work for us to do. It'll be a close race. There's a lot more work to do. We're humbled by the support we have in the region. But the challenge is, as you, I think, have pointed out, that, we need more people to know that we're running. In Utah, as of a week ago, only about 50% of the state knew that I was in the race and who I was. But the fact that we were competing, even though our name ID is, at 50%, whereas Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are near 100%, that says a lot about the potential we have. We just need to get the word out as quickly as we can.
Utah has been the base of your support. As you say, you're finding it elsewhere as well. Why has Utah, apparently from polls and everything I'm reading here, had such a kind of, especially of late, this very strong allergic reaction to Donald Trump?
Well, it's not just Utah. It is in the broader Mountain West, and it's elsewhere. It's across the country. I mean, I just think many good people, as I would say, just see Donald Trump as somebody who does not respect that all men and women, regardless of their gender, their race, their faith, are created equal, as it says in our founding documents. He does not accept the fact that that people ought to have liberty to pursue happiness. This is somebody who attacks Americans. This is somebody who is dishonest. This is somebody who brags about the sexual abuse of women. This is somebody who aligns himself with the world's worst authoritarians and dictators, people who are responsible for the suffering of millions and millions of civilians. This is Donald Trump is an awful person who has no business leading our country, and it's just a shame that he is the nominee of a major party, sadly the Republican Party. And this is what people in Utah and people in the broader Mountain West and indeed across the country are seeing and rejecting, and those are the people we're trying to get our message to.
Is Donald Trump, by your lights, a conservative?
Oh, certainly not. He is not a conservative at all. He's never been a conservative. He's adopted certain positions since deciding to run for president through the Republican process. But if we're to believe that somebody who's long lived a life supporting causes inconsistent with conservatism has suddenly become a conservative just at the moment when he's trying to when he's pursuing the Republican nomination, well, if we're going to believe that, then we'll believe just about anything. I mean, Donald Trump is not who he says he is, and I believe that's clear. And he reverses his positions on all kinds of issues. But listen, this is the point. We're in a leadership crisis in this country. Hillary Clinton is deeply corrupt. Donald Trump is as well and otherwise dangerous to the country. We need a new generation of leaders who will unify this country, who will put the interests of the American people first, who will return power to the people so that the people can have the opportunity to pursue happiness, which was the whole purpose of this country, of this great country, was that we could pursue happiness. And right now we can't do that as well as we could because we have a government that's unaccountable to the American people. We have leaders who divide us, who suggest that we're not all equal. We need a new conservative movement, I believe, that's recommitted to these founding principles of our country and who will welcome all people of all races and religions and genders to the movement. I believe it is a very powerful message I found that is attracting the support of not only conservatives, traditional conservatives, but also people on the left who say, hey, this is a guy who's fighting for the truth that all men and women are created equal, and this is a man who wants to put power in my hands. And I think, you know, this is something that Mindy Finn, my running mate, and I have found that it is a very powerful message, and it has the benefit of being true.
Donald Trump says he will make America great again and that it make it strong. You've got a CIA background that put you in the Middle East a lot. Part of the strength that he talks about projecting is there in the Middle East against ISIS. So as someone who was knee-deep in that region with the CIA and knows it pretty well from that angle, looking at Donald Trump's statements on how he would take on ISIS, how he would deal with the Muslim world, what do you make of his approach, Mr. McMullen?
Well, Donald Trump has no credibility on any national security topic I've heard him discuss, least of which is ISIS and how to defeat it. You know, just that last fall, Donald Trump was saying that ISIS wasn't our problem and that we should just leave it up to Russia, which is just about the worst idea I could possibly imagine on the topic. Since then, he said he's going to kill the families of terrorists and he's going to, you know, bomb them and torture them and these kinds of things. Look, he doesn't have the slightest clue how to defeat ISIS. He has no background. He's not willing to listen to advisors who I think might give him better ideas. But he just has no idea. He hasn't really offered a plan in the first place. One of the big mistakes he makes is to suggest that we should have a religious test for Muslims who might visit or come to the country as refugees or otherwise. Look, and he otherwise attacks them. What he doesn't realize is that we have not had a single counterterrorism success in the Middle East or elsewhere without some kind of help from Muslims. Even the killing of Osama bin Laden was facilitated by our Muslim partners. You know, this is and people working with us of that faith. And so when he attacks them, he attacks a major source of power for us vis-a-vis ISIS and a major source of of opportunity for us to actually be successful in this effort against Islamist terrorists.
We're talking with Evan McMullen, independent conservative candidate for the presidency. He's polling very well in Utah, on the ballot in 11 states, looking for write-ins elsewhere. Lots of callers for you, Mr. McMullen. Luke in Abilene, Texas. Luke, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. What do you see?
Hey, I am so excited that Evan is entering the race. From day one, whenever I was looking at the Republican primaries, I'm a lifelong Republican. I did not think Donald Trump was even a conservative. I saw him as an entertainer and a businessman, and he's doing just that. He's saying things just to get elected, just to get picked. I don't think he's really conservative at all. And now that Evan has entered the race, things are really looking up for me. I can't be more excited.
Donald Trump has never been elected to public office, but neither has Evan McMullen. Many people are only learning his name now. Is that of concern to you, Luke?
It's not a concern to me because I look at their records. I look at what they've done. And Donald Trump, like I said, he's been looking out for himself. How can he be entertaining? How can he make more money? And Evan's got a track record. He served this country. He has been working for the CIA. And it tells me he knows how the inner workings of these government agencies work. And he knows how to make them better. He knows how to work with them. And he knows how to get things done.
Also, former chief policy director for the House Republican Conference in Washington. Evan, are you getting that kind of response as you move around the country?
I am, and thank you very much, Luke. I'm honored to have your support and your encouragement. Yes, we are. I mean, the point is that Donald Trump has spent his life seeking the limelight, and so that he could avoid service. So what has he done to serve this country? What has he done to serve the American people? That's not something I've done. I've done the opposite of that. Yes, nobody in this country knew who I was before I started running, and now people are still learning about me. I've stayed in the background because I've been serving, and it's been necessary for my service, whether it's been as the chief policy director for the House Republicans or as a CIA operative. That's what I've done. I've been doing things. I've been actually engaged in the business of this country. And hired by our leaders to advise them on how they should lead. I'm stepping forward into this race because I'm seeing that our leaders are not doing what's necessary to guide this country forward to a secure and prosperous future for all.
Help us get a sense of where you stand on other policies, whether it's the economy, the Supreme Court. Where do you come down, Evan?
Well, on the Supreme Court specifically, I believe that I would appoint constitutional conservatives, originalists, people who would enforce the Constitution and as it's written, people who would respect the reality or respect the Constitution in the sense that if it is to be changed, it needs to be changed through the amendment process, not through executive or judicial action.
What might that mean for Roe v. Wade or for gay marriage, for example?
Well, I would appoint originalists and let them decide. On Roe v. Wade, I would like to see that overturned. I believe that how we treat life in this country is a true test of our humanity. I understand that, of course, it's a very polarizing issue, and other people have different opinions, and I get that. But look, I just think we've got to respect life more in this country from conception until natural death.
And on gay marriage?
On gay marriage, you know, that's one where the court's made its decision. And again, I would appoint originalists who would handle that decision, hopefully consistently with the Constitution.
Would that mean overturning it to you?
Not necessarily. I do believe I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a Mormon, which means that I believe in traditional marriage. I think it's important for our society and for our spirituality. But I also believe that people ought to have the free will to make decisions for themselves.
Evan McMullen, please stand by there. We'll come right back to you with calls from around the country. Independent conservative running for president of the United States. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Goldman Sachs. Get insights from some of the world's leading thinkers on markets, industries, and the global economy in the firm's podcast, Exchanges at Goldman Sachs. You'll hear discussions on topics with far-reaching implications like climate change, autonomous driving, the future of China's economic growth, plus much more. That's Exchanges at Goldman Sachs, available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play, and at gs.com/podcast.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with independent conservative candidate for president, former CIA operative Evan McMullen. He is on the ballot in 11 states, looking for write-in votes in many more than that. Come to prominence recently with strong showings in polling in Utah. Just now, new poll coming out from Rasmussen finds Trump, Donald Trump, at 30% there. Mr. McMullen at 29%, right behind him, ahead of Hillary Clinton at 28%. Gary Johnson's kind of collapsed there down to 5%. If he would pull ahead in Utah and take that state, it would be the first time since George Wallace won a state that a smaller party candidate has actually won a state. That would give him electoral votes. If the vote ended up nationally close and this nobody got 270 and this went to the House of Representatives and there were three alternatives, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or Evan McMullen in the Republican-dominated House, where would they go? His bet is it might be him. You can join us this hour. What's your question for Evan McMullen? What do you think of the role third-party candidates are playing in this year's politics? Is this a conservative candidate you could latch on to? Could you see Utah going for McMullen and Congress making him president? Suzanne is calling from West Des Moines, Iowa. Suzanne, you're on with Evan McMullen.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was delighted to learn about Evan McMullen. I've been an independent. I probably don't share all his views. I'm socially very liberal but fiscally conservative. And I'm just delighted that there's a third-party candidate getting this kind of attention.
What's your question for Mr. McMullen? He's right here.
I would like to know, though. Oh, I'm sorry. I would like to know about his perspective on international trade, because as an economist, I think both the candidates, Clinton and Trump, are getting that wrong. So I'd like to hear his perspective on his approach to international trade.
Evan McMullen, Donald Trump has been very, very critical of trade deals and sounds kind of anti-free trade sometimes. Where do you come down?
Yeah, well, Suzanne, thank you very much for your interest and for your call and the question. Look, I agree. We've simply got to trade. Our economy has been growing on average on an annual basis for the last 10 years at under 2% GDP growth. You know, we've got to do better than that, and there are many things that go into that, but one of them is trade. 95% of the world's consumers live outside our borders. Our companies need to be able to sell products and services to them. Right now, there are tariff barriers in a lot of countries that prevent that, or at least that from happening on fair terms. We've got to be able to trade with the people of the world, and we're not going to see the kind of economic growth we'd like to see and that we need to see so that all people in the United States have additional opportunity if we don't do it. Now, the truth is that we've also, I think, got to be better about helping people who lose their jobs as a result of the movement of jobs from here to elsewhere. Although, let's be clear, trade creates many jobs. 12 million jobs in this country are supported by trade, and they tend to be higher-paying jobs than jobs that aren't supported by trade. But we can be better about helping people in a dynamic economy whose jobs go elsewhere through, I think, apprenticeship programs that Germany uses, for example, to incentivize employers with higher-paying jobs to bring people on, train them up in a new profession, and then over time they become competitive in that profession, and they're on their way, and it's better for them, better for families, and better for the country. I think we need to have a very competitive, dynamic economy, but we need to be better about helping those people who Donald Trump has given voice to in this election. But the wrong way to go about it is to say we're going to close our borders, we're going to approach this in a protectionist sort of way, and we're going to trade less, and we're going to punish companies that build overseas. And I mean, it's bad all around to do total harm to our economy.
Donald Trump says he would tear up NAFTA and would say no to the TPP. Hillary Clinton says she would say no to the TPP. Where do you come down on those, Evan McMullen?
I would not tear up NAFTA, and I would do my very best to get TPP done. Yeah, I think we need to do it. It's not only for our economy, but for strategic reasons. We want countries in Asia to be in our orbit, to be doing business with us, to be close to us, not having to drift towards China. Although you know, China can be part of the deal too with some reforms down the road. But we, for so many reasons, economic and strategic, TPP is important.
Suzanne in Iowa, thank you for your call. Evelyn in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, thank you, Evelyn. You're on the air with Evan McMullen.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi. I love your station. It's very inspiring, and you know, you learn a lot from it. My opinion for the election is only this. It is all speculation right now, you know, and it's still plenty of time to see if Hillary Clinton or the Trump, Republicans will win. And I'm just concerned about, it is important that you vote, but I think it's much more important who is counting the votes at the end. And that will determine the outcome.
I mean, are you responding to Donald Trump's charges that it's rigged, that it's going to be rigged? Are you worried about that, Evelyn?
Well, it's just in general, you know. I really don't want to put one party against the next, but I always voted Republican. I am a Republican, but just in general that I think it's very important who will be counting the votes. I don't know who's doing that, but I think that will determine the outcome.
I appreciate your call. Mr. McMullen, are you worried about this election being rigged? Donald Trump has charged that that's what's coming very loudly. His running mate Mike Pence has said, come on. Is this a real issue to you, or is this a sideshow, or even I'm not sure what?
Well, look, it's sort of ironic that Donald Trump wants to talk about the election being rigged. If it's being rigged at all or influenced, it's by his allies in Russia, in the Kremlin. I mean, the reality is that the Russians have been hacking our systems. Our intelligence services have said this. They've hacked the DNC. But in terms of our own system, in terms of our own process, it is. I do not believe that it's rigged. It is controlled by the two major party candidates, which is something that I think needs to be opened up. But the only, undue influence or rigging, if you want to say it that way, is being done by forces external to our country, those that, frankly, Donald Trump has welcomed into our process. And that's what should be condemned. And I think it's terrible that the Republicans continue to stand with Donald Trump. The Republicans have been the National Security Party for decades. And here they are with a nominee who has encouraged Russia to use cyber attacks to influence our election, and it's unacceptable.
Is it responsible for Donald Trump to say it's going to be rigged?
No, it's not responsible. But this is exactly what Vladimir Putin says. This is what third world dictators say about our system. And Donald Trump, as he has done in other circumstances, carries their rhetoric. And it's designed to weaken our democracy. It's designed to sow seeds of doubt in the minds of Americans about our democracy, which we're blessed to have. Is it perfect? No, it is not. But we are very lucky and fortunate to have it. We can improve it. We should work to improve it. But it is one of the best in the world. And it's only our enemies, only our adversaries that want to undermine it. And Donald Trump is aligning himself with them, and he's very open about it, while the GOP continues to support him. I mean, we're in such a situation now. I almost can't believe the words coming out of my mouth. It's terrible that we find ourselves where we are. But that is the case. And I've called on Republican leaders to step aside, to repudiate Donald Trump's rhetoric and his candidacy, and to recommit themselves to the interests of the country, not their own narrow party interests.
Robert, in Burlington, Vermont, you are on the air with Evan McMullen.
Hi. I just want to say, from what I hear, I like the guy, but I just disagree with a lot of what he stands for. But my comment is that I believe that him entering the race now, and he looks strong for conservatives. I think he's going to be successful in pulling a lot of votes away from Donald Trump and just locking Hillary's chances down to be president.
Mr. McMullen, is the effect of your race to give the White House, help give it to Hillary Clinton?
Well, look, you know, I have a constitutional right to run for president, and I'm exercising that right like the other candidates. I have the right to compete for votes. I am competing for votes, and that's the way our system works. Now, Hillary Clinton is she looks like the likely winner. I mean, look, we're still fighting to stop Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, but she is dominating Donald Trump in all of the Electoral College projections. In such a way that it really wouldn't matter if I were in the race or not. In that sense, she's winning so handily that you know that that's Donald Trump's inability to compete with her. That's what's happening. But look, it's important that someone stand up in this race for what the things that I stand for, which are that all men and women are created equal, and that we all have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I don't believe that either candidate, either of the two major party candidates, were standing for those things all together, and that somebody else needed to step forward, not only for this election, but for beyond. Someone had to stand up and defend these foundational ideals and truths, not only so that they would persist in the minds and hearts of Americans, so that we would not forget about them, but I believe it's time for a new conservative movement, and beyond this election, that's what we are building. Mindy Finn and I and our team and our millions of supporters around the country are building something that will a movement that will recommit itself to the truth that we are all equal and to the cause of individual liberty, and that's what this country needs, I firmly believe.
Liz, in Driftwood, Texas, you're on with Mr. McMullen.
My question to you is, what is your stance on climate change? And what plans do you have for dealing with it?
Well, thank you, Liz, for the call and the question. I do believe that the climate is changing. I do believe that human activity is contributing to it. And if I were president, I would increase investment in technologies that can help us limit and decrease our carbon emissions. I think that you know, we have a stewardship, a responsibility of stewardship over this earth. We depend on it for life. My father is and was a mountaineer, and I remember as a young man, before anyone else was doing it, you know, my father was looking out for the earth. He was recycling, and at a very young age when no one else was doing this, I was confused by my father's digging around in the trash, separating the trash as he would. But I learned to respect it and have a lot of respect for him and again, believe that we have a responsibility of stewardship for this earth and we need to do a better job of taking care of it.
Would you support a radical restructuring of our energy sources away from fossil fuels?
Well, the way I think we should do it is we should invest in technologies that are, you know, clean technologies, but I don't think we should be picking companies because I think that breeds corruption.
I don't mean companies, but I do mean fuel sources. I mean, fossil fuels have been a big problem. They say we're going to have to go cut way back on them if we want to get anywhere near avoiding the worst consequences of climate change. Would you support that?
Right. Well, as I've just said, I would support investment in technologies, clean technologies that would help us limit carbon emissions. That's the way I think we should do it. I think we need to invest. I mean, look, this country is a home of is a home of innovation for the world. That's one of our strengths in this country is that we can innovate if given the opportunity. We innovate here, and especially in the technology area. I believe that we need to use that national strength. We need to invest more in it. In this area and then have technologies that can compete on an open market and also lower our carbon emissions.
Todd in Drakesboro, Kentucky. Todd, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. My question is, how would he maintain the separation of church and state? Because I lived in Arizona for 12 years, and it was predominantly run by Mormons. And they show the propensity to favor their own and to ostracize others when they are in a position of power.
Todd, let me pick it up right there. Our time is short. Evan McMullen?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think that's fair at all. In fact, I'm the guy in this election. I'm the conservative in this race who's saying that we ought to be open to people of all races and religions and backgrounds. I mean, that's what I'm on the campaign trail fighting for this. You know, I'm the conservative doing that. So the idea that I wouldn't be open to people of different backgrounds, I think, is just a mischaracterization of everything I stand for and everything my faith stands for too, I should add. But certainly everything I stand for and everything I spend all day fighting for.
Owen in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Owen, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll keep this short. I'm a recon corpsman, and, you know, I'm just so excited that you're on the ballot. I wish you were knowledgeable to me earlier because you already got my vote as I'm looking for somebody to vote. And I guess I'm wondering about abortions and military strength. I'll take my response off the air.
Thank you. Evan?
Thank you very much, Owen, for the call. I am pro-life, and I'm committed to the cause of life. As I've said earlier in the show, I do believe this is a test of our humanity. I think there's room to cooperate on both sides of the aisle, so that we can decrease the number of unintended pregnancies. Let's do this. No one in this country, or almost no one, wants more abortions. We can at least agree on that. And so let's find a way to work together to decrease the number of unintended pregnancies. And let's really, truly commit ourselves to the cause of life and to the right to life. On the other issue, military strength, look, I have served in multiple wars, Owen, and they are worse, as I suspect you may know, than most people understand if they haven't served in them themselves. I'm a firm believer, as was George Washington and as was Ronald Reagan, in strength or in peace through strength. Right now, we're letting our military's equipment and personnel struggle under underfunding. We're using equipment in some cases that we're pulling out of museums, literally. We're using equipment from the 60s in some cases, commonly from the 80s and 90s. We've got the strongest military in the world. We've got the best personnel in the world. We're asking a lot from them, though, while we're not giving them the resources they need. And it's just unacceptable to expect people to put their lives on the line and not equip them as best we can and train them as best we can.
Evan McMullen, independent conservative running for president of the United States. Mr. McMullen joining us today from Las Vegas. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.